It's 9:45 at night. Immediately after the close of our last episode, as...
Oh, Perry, we're only crawling.
Well, I can't help it, Tom.
But we'll never...
The First Street Viaduct is out. Everyone has to crowd through here. Pass a couple.
But there are hundreds of cars ahead.
Well, I'll swing out on Pine Avenue. Maybe traffic will thin out.
And if it doesn't?
We'll have to do something else. Are you watching the time,
though? Oh, yes. Ed Beacon was 5 minutes ahead of us. But he's going to Gordy Webber's apartment by a different direction.
Della, we don't know that Ed will do anything foolish.
Well, Audrey's afraid he will.
Yeah, oh, look. Pine Avenue is just as crowded as it could be. All right. Come on, Della.
Where?
Into that coffee shop, Dave. The telephone. There the phone is. Look, Della, phone call Drake's office. See if he was able to reach Gordy Webber. Use the other phone booth. Hmm?
Okay, Chief.
I'll ring Webber's apartment just in case.
I spoke with Paul. Mm-hmm. He's been trying to phone Webber's apartment off and on for 10 minutes. There's no answer.
Paul's still on the other line?
Yes, he is.
Well, I don't get any answer from Webber's apartment either. Now, look, if Kate was there, he has probably taken her out. I will keep ringing his apartment. You ask Paul to phone the manager of the Grayton apartment. Ask the manager to see if Webber's phone is out of order.
Can't you hear it ring?
Well, it can be out of order and still sound as it did. Just do as I ask, will you, Della? I'll hang on until you speak to Paul, then we'll keep going.
But meanwhile, Kate Beekman's father is inside the Grayton apartment building. Ed Beekman walks down the 7th floor corridor. Ed ignores the maid and bellboy who break off their conversation to stare at the expression of cold rage on Ed Beekman's face. Ed is thinking only of the man who lives in apartment 711. And of the girl Ed Beekman fears is with him.
This phone's ringing. We can answer the doorbell first. Come on, Gordy, open the door. He ain't answering the phone either. Maybe he's...
I'm coming through this door, Gordy.
I told you. Door isn't locked. Lights on. See anybody? Sounds louder when it stops ringing. Cigarette's still burning in the ashtray. Was having a drink. Liquor. No sign of Gordy. Unless that should be a bedroom door. Still, he must have heard the phone ringing. The place must be empty. That's funny. Gordy left one of his shoes at the end of the couch. Funny way for a shoe to lay on the floor. Shoe ain't laying there by itself. Something's propping it up. It's Gordy. He's hurt bad. Real bad. He's dead. Gordy is dead. This couldn't have happened 2 minutes ago. Well, if it did, it couldn't be here in the apartment. Well, that bedroom door is closed. Whoever did it could be on the other side, waiting to see if... Yeah. Whoever did it is inside that bedroom. There's a closet door by the front door. I'm going to make whoever's in that bedroom come out. Open the front door and close it loud. It's like I walked out. Now I'll step inside the closet. I'll leave this door cracked so I can see that bedroom door. And here's a vase. Okay, killer. Come on out. Come out so I can get a look at you. Yeah, I thought so. He's unlocking the bedroom door. All right, now open it. Come out so I can see. It's a woman. Oh, God. Oh, God, that's my girl. It's Katie. Where's she gone? I can't see her from here. Where is she? What's she doing? I'll step out. She's in the living room. By the couch. And there's a knife in her hand. She don't even look at Gordy. She's looking at him now. Staring at him. Probably don't even remember doing it. I got to face her. I got to face her. I got to... She's gone. Oh, Katie, baby, why did you... I got to do what I can to help her. She handled the knife so her prints are on it. I'll wipe her prints off. Go on, pick it up, Bigman. I'm doing this to help your girl.
Yeah.
Pick it up. Wipe off her fingerprints. Oh. Quit ringing. Quit ringing.
All right, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Mr. Weber, this is Mr. Rowe.
Yeah, who'd you see?
I'm the new assistant manager.
Yeah?
There have been several messages for you, sir. I've tried to ring your apartment several times, and now I have you on the phone. Oh, dear, the phone. There's some people in the lobby. They're already in the elevator. I'm sorry, Mr. Weber, but I must hang up now.
Now, I gotta help Katie. Look around, see if she left anything of hers here.
All right, don't move. I'm a police officer. Don't come any closer. I said don't move.
I'm not going to...
He dead?
Yeah, I guess so.
Who is he?
His name is Weber. Gordon Weber.
What'd you do it for?
I'm
talking to you. What's your name?
Ed. Ed Bigman. General manager. Ed Bigman.
Turn around, Bigman. Turn around nice and slow. That's it. I'll be still. Gun. You carry another knife, Beacon? Where's your wallet? No, never mind. I got it. Beacon, Morrell Street. Beacon. On parole. You're not on parole anymore, Beacon. Okay, Mike, call homicide. Tell him they got time to finish the last hand. We got the boy who did it. The killer's a parolee. Well, you dealt yourself a losing hand, Beekman. Aces and eights. Aces and eights. A dead man's hand. Now, go ahead and call him, Mike.
The shock of finding Gordy's body and finding himself under instant suspicion of murder are as nothing to the shock Ed Beekman experienced when he saw his beloved daughter in Gordy's apartment. What do you think is going to happen now? Well, join us on Monday, won't you?